Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Shatkin Show, which is the show for you to where the rubber hits the road, where you're going to hear facts and honest discourse, and where you're going to hear the truth and nothing but the truth. You will not hear media lies. You will not hear media falsehoods. You will not hear media hype. You will not hear political rhetoric as a substitute for facts and truth. That's what this show is all about. It's politically incorrect. It's not politically correct. Not interested in political correctness. We're interested in facts and honest discernment and critical thinking, which can only be accomplished through the reading of books. That's the beginning point of acquiring the ability to think. If you don't do that, you will not at some point be able to discern correctly. Next, I am a writer, and I've written 10 books, and two of them have been legal books, select legal topics. The other three have been Christian books, Essays in a Christian Worldview, which is sold internationally to many schools in the United States, including the entire University of California, and also Dutch universities and German universities and many universities in Australia and New Zealand. And moreover, I have written a book called Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, also been bought by Harvard and University of Pennsylvania and many other schools, and also a book on the parables. I have analyzed all 41 of the parables in the Bible and have posted those interpretations on my website and on my social media. I hope they've benefited these interpretations and benefited people and helped them. I also I'm planning other books. I've just written a book on the Psalms, as well as books on the miracles in the Bible and the sayings of Christ, and another law book, which has been partially completed on pretrial motions and hearings. I also am the host of two Christian radio shows. One is a radio show. Which is a podcast, and over 4,000 people have visited this Christian show, many from Muslim countries in China, despite the Christian orientation of these podcasts. I also have a Blog Talk radio show, which I'm doing tonight, again, as a Christian orientation, and many of my Muslim friends and brothers and sisters in Christ, whatever their religion, I don't discriminate. I welcome all to these shows, and every stripe of person you can imagine is welcome in the love of Christ, which this show exhibits and proclaims. I have many people from many countries in the world visit this show: Malaysia, United Kingdom, Finland, Germany, Belgium, India, Bangladesh, Malaysia, and Japan, and many others. I am happy to say that many people from Muslim countries visit this show. I'm very happy about it. And as a matter of fact, I have many contacts from Muslim societies in which they exhibit an interest in my thinking, this Christian dogmatic thinking. They are quite open-minded and smart, and they are not prepared to reject Christian thought, as you might imagine. I had a Islamic scientist on the show, a novelist, and I've had contacts with many other people who have been aware of Muslims, professors in Saudi Arabia and other places that have been aware of my written work and have followed it extensively. I have written over 500 blogs, or 550, and they have a Christian orientation, many of them, but I welcome all people. Many people visit them from all countries, including Muslim countries, I'm happy to say. I have no prejudice in my nature. I have no race feelings toward people. I am concerned that people understand Christian faith and the love of Jesus for all humanity, which is the Christian religion and will always be my priority. Next, I'm going to talk tonight about a very sticky... By the way, I had written two journal articles that have been published by the State Department and the United States Supreme Court and many European and American university libraries. So many, many of these books have been purchased by these people. I presently have been nominated to give a presentation to 89 countries on a legal issue, and I'm going to post this soon in my website so you people will be able to know about it and follow it. I also have recently also submitted an article to another journal, Asian Science and Technical Journal, which they wish to have me submit a paper. So that's the situation. Now, I'm going to talk about Jesus and children. And I think we have to look at the passage in the Gospels where Jesus invites children to approach him. So in the account of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, and we're told that children were brought to Jesus to touch, and the disciples rebuked the children. Jesus' response was to allow the children to come to him, stating to them that they belong to the kingdom of God. And the narrative ends with a statement that whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. And at this point, Jesus is seen as taking... Hello. The Jesus' response would allow the children to come to him, stating to them belong the kingdom of God. And the narrative ends with a statement that whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. And at this point, Jesus is seen as taking the children in his arms, blessing them and laying his hands upon them. This incident is also found in Luke chapter 18. So why does Jesus say the children, he wants them to come to him. He says they belong to the kingdom of God. And then he says, whoever doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. So this is a very puzzling incident and difficult for us to truly grasp and understand. The world values strength, power, wealth, sophistication, and perhaps being smart or intelligent. I think those are the world's values, power, wealth, sophistication, and being smart. The world often values people on how they look and dress. I think very often, particularly in our present society, there's a great emphasis on looks and dress. I think it's wrong. I don't make a judgment on that basis to a person I don't know just because they have nice clothes or look good. But that's our society today. But Jesus says we're supposed to be like little kids to enter the kingdom of God. And this is very difficult to grasp. Children are generally seen as innocent, trusting, and obedient. They certainly are not equal in intellect and experience to an adult. So, it's very to understand why he tells us to be like children. After all, children are sort of undeveloped adults. They're innocent, trusting, and obedient. And they're not equal in intellect or experience to an adult. Certainly no child has ever written a great symphony, written a great book, or save someone's life with surgery, or has had, in general, some form of success. And in fact, children do none of those things. No child has ever written a great symphony, written a great book, or saved someone's life with surgery, or has had, in general, some form of success. In fact, in the present world, there seems to be a great value in celebrities, regardless of how they look, and being wealthy and important in the eyes of the world, regardless of what kind of person they are on a moral level. There are all kinds of celebrities, and maybe some of them are morally worthwhile. But the criterion of being a celebrity is having a great deal of money and having a picture, an image featured in the media. So, our society plays a great deal of value on celebrities. We don't know about what kind of person they are on a moral or ethical level. And they may be some morally worthwhile people as celebrities, but the great criterion of being a celebrity and in being important in the world is having a great deal of money and having a picture image featured in the media. The society hardly holds infants as a benchmark as Jesus does. So, I offer the following explanation as to why Jesus says you have to be like a little kid to enter the kingdom of heaven. Very difficult to grasp. Children are not developed. They may be innocent, trusting, and obedient, but not equal in intellect to an adult. No children has ever written a great symphony, a great book, or saved someone's life with surgery, or has had, in general, some form of success. In fact, in the present world, there seems to be a great value in celebrities, regardless of what kind of person they are on a moral level. And celebrities are people who have a picture featured, they're good-looking, and they seem to have a great deal of money. So the society doesn't seem to really value little kids as the benchmark, as Jesus does. But let me offer this explanation. Children offer to most adults, up to a certain age, unconditional love. Perhaps Jesus means here that the criteria to enter what he terms the kingdom of heaven are humility, unconditional love, and obedience to Christ and God. So what are we to say here? Does he mean that the criterion of not being smart, not being wealthy, not being sophisticated, not having any of those adult qualities, not having any power, perhaps the kingdom of heaven, should he say, consists of people in humility and unconditional love and obedience? So maybe you might say that Jesus doesn't want a lot of smart, sophisticated, wealthy, powerful people. He's making it quite clear that these are irrelevant qualities for him. The relevant qualities to enter the kingdom of heaven, like the little kids he refers to, are humility, unconditional love and love, and obedience to Christ and God. So it's quite clear that Jesus doesn't seem to want sophisticated people, smart people, powerful people, wealthy people. He doesn't say the kingdom of God consists of those people, but he tells us they consist of little kids, who he says they will be entering the kingdom of heaven, and the qualities are humility, unconditional love, and obedience to Christ and God. So, and then it's very significant also, not only this remark about children being part of the kingdom of God, we have to be like children, humble, quiet, unconditional in our love to others, and obedient. He's saying those are the relevant qualities. It's also noteworthy that Jesus chose working men and fishermen to be his first disciples. Again, he looks at the heart of the person. He doesn't look at their occupation. He doesn't look at their importance in the world. He looks at none of those things. The best way to put it is that only as a child, when our mind is not clouded with lies and falsehoods, can we truly have the sort of relationship to God as he wishes. Perhaps the best way to put it is that only as a child, he's saying we have to be like a child when our mind is not clouded with lies and falsehoods and phony ideas, can we have the relationship in the kingdom of heaven as he wishes. It is only with the love of a child, the trust of a child, and the obedience of a child that we can approach the holy God. That's really what he's saying here. He chose fishermen to be his first disciples. He looked at their hearts, not at their occupation, not at their importance, not at any of those qualities. And he really said that you have to be like a child. With children, their minds are not clouded with lies and falsehoods. It's only with the love and trust of a child and the obedience of a child that we can be and approach the holy God. Perhaps this particular narrative can be understood only as telling us that the values that the world accords to people and puts upon them are not the true values that God wants in us. He wants the value and presentation and personality and soul and mind of an innocent child who is capable of great love, trust, and a relationship, and most of all, humility. So he's saying that's what God looks at. The innocent child capable of great love, unconditional love, trust, relationship, and most of all, humility. It is only a child who can understand his true nature, which involves those qualities. It is those qualities of humility, love, honesty, trust, a relationship. These are the qualities that Jesus looks for in humanity. And he says that I want the little children to be part of my kingdom and not the smart, not the sophisticated, not the wealthy, not the powerful. And he's really saying that it's only a child that can understand the true nature of God. So we have to understand that Jesus wants other qualities than power, wealth, sophistication, intellect, clothes, or looks. He looks at none of those qualities. He looks at the qualities of an innocent child who has unconditional love, trust, and love for all, and humility. Perhaps this, we have to understand that at the creation of our first parents, they initially had the innocence and qualities of children, and they fell from that status, and in that fall, brought evil into the world with the result of death, destruction, and a humanity that leaves much to be desired as compared to the childlike innocence of our first parents. Yes, they were innocent like children, and they fell from that innocence and brought evil into the world with the result of death, destruction, and humanity that leaves much to be desired as compared to the childlike innocence of our first parents. If you want to know more about Jesus and his statement about children, please look at chapter 41, entitled Jesus' Children, of my book, Essays on Faith, Politics, Culture, and Philosophy. Take a look at it, read it, and I've given you the kernel in this presentation of what Jesus had to say about children, and he wants us to be like children if we are going to understand and know him as the Savior and Redeemer of the world. That is the quality he looks for, whether in a fisherman or a child. Whoever you might imagine, he looks at the heart, he looks at the innocent, he looks at the humility, he looks at the love, not the smartness, not the sophistication, not the wealth, not the power, none of those things. So I hope you've enjoyed this presentation, and I look forward to speaking to you again tomorrow night at 6:30 once again. Thank you.